This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Gaza's main hospital is surrounded by Israeli troops right now who claim Hamas is using it as a base. U.S. officials say negotiations to free more than 200 hostages are intense and ongoing. Correspondent Doug Williams reports from Tel Aviv.
The situation inside Gaza City hospitals, we're told, is increasingly dire.
Caught in the crossfire is Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, which the World Health Organization says is no longer able to function, with deaths mounting. Israel's military released video they say shows 300 liters of fuel, a relatively small amount, being dropped off near the hospital to help with operations.
The Hamas-run health ministry says three premature babies are among 32 Palestinians killed at the hospital over the past 3 days. The Pentagon says U.S. warplanes have hit a training camp and a safe house in Syria, both linked to Iran. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin.
These strikes are intended to disrupt and degrade the freedom of action and capabilities of these groups, which are directly responsible for attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria.
Here in the U.S., the GOP presidential race just slimmed down. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Just 2 months shy of the Iowa caucuses, Republican Tim Scott is out of the running for his party's nomination.
I am suspending my campaign.
The South Carolina senator made the announcement on Fox News last night after abruptly canceling all of his campaign stops in Iowa over the weekend when he came down with the flu.
Congress has until Friday to pass a bill to keep the government up and running. House Speaker Mike Johnson's proposed a plan that includes two separate extensions. Republican Congressman Mike McCall tells CBS's Face the Nation.
You know, I think what the Senate's going to do, they're going to come up with a package probably after Thanksgiving that they will send over to the House.
Former President Trump's son, Don Jr., is expected to be back on the stand at the Trump Organization's fraud trial in New York City today. This time, he'll testify for the defense. CBS's Anne Marie Green.
Lawyers for former President Trump will begin their defense today after the prosecution rested its case last week. Trump's oldest son earlier testified he never worked on his father's financial statements and left the accounting to others. The Trumps deny any wrongdoing.
U.S. colleges and universities are making up for falling enrollment post-pandemic with international students. A report from the State Department this morning shows the number of foreigners being accepted was up 12% in the 2022-23 academic year, making it the fastest growth rate in more than 40 years. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers sounds like he'll sign a bill to let local election clerks start counting absentee ballots the day before Election Day. That's one of several bills on voting the Assembly sent to his desk yesterday. Another bill would enact new rules for indefinitely confined voters. The Assembly also passed a number of proposed constitutional amendments. One would ban local governments from using private money to run elections. Alliant Energy customers can expect their bills to go up about $10 a month on average next year. Wisconsin regulators approved a 2-year rate hike yesterday, which includes an average $8 a month rate hike in the second year. The main reason for the rate hikes is that Alliant Energy is making a huge investment in solar power and battery storage in Wisconsin. Alliant Energy aims to be carbon neutral by 2050. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Packers lose on the last play of the game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lost to the Steelers 23-19 in Pittsburgh. The game was back and forth and came down to the final 3 seconds. Green Bay on the Pittsburgh 16, and instead of a touchdown, the ball intercepted by the Steelers. Jordan Love.
Last play of the game. trying to take a shot to the end zone, dialed up a play that we, you know, work all the time in practice, pretty much just trying to get a shot right there in the front in line to Christian. The DB was able to jump in front of the route and make a pick.
The Packers now 3-6. They host the Chargers on Sunday. NBA, the Bucks are back at home tonight. They host the Chicago Bulls. Milwaukee losing to the Magic in Orlando 112-97. That snapped a 14-game winning streak the Bucks had over the Magic. Milwaukee now 5-4 for the year. College football, offense, defense, special teams, nothing seems to be working for the Wisconsin Badgers after losing at home 24-10 to Northwestern. Luke Fickell.
There's not a single complimentary thing right now that we're doing. I don't think we've done in the last couple weeks.
With sports, I'm Mike Clement.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 58 today, under clear skies, westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies again tonight, lows dip down to about 32. High of 58 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is Monday, November 13th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, maybe the Civic Media app or by podcast, social media, whatever brings you up here to the lake this morning. Happy to have you along with us from our home base, 93.5 The Tap, in the Chippewa Valley here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here's what's on tap this morning. Microsoft is riding to the rescue at the Foxconn site in Racine County, adding basically the equivalent of a new cloud to its data center. Donald Trump is borrowing one of Hitler's expressions now as his rhetoric grows increasingly dark. We'll talk about a curious, if not weird, maybe inappropriate political use of law enforcement in the Whitewater area. The Packers can't pull off a win in Pittsburgh, and we'll have plenty of other sports headlines for you as well. Then in our second hour, we'll be joined not only by Dr. Kristen Lyerly, an OBGYN, but by Amy Burkett, an OBGYN in Ohio. We had her on a few weeks back talking about issue one, the referendum in Ohio that enshrined a constitutional protection to a woman's right to reproductive health care. And less than a week later, Republicans in Ohio are already being very public about plans to get around it, ignore it, fight it. Again, working against an amendment to their constitution. And they're not alone. Republicans are trying the same thing in Michigan as well. We'll have the weatherology forecast from Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology as well. And along the way, if you'd like to share questions or comments, our studio line number is 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Call it, text it, use the Civic Media app to call or text us. Send us a note by email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or if you're watching on Facebook, we do a live video feed on the Civic Media Facebook page and the Up North News Facebook page. You can always leave a comment there and we'll see it and perhaps throw that up on the screen as well. Not a bad weekend around Wisconsin. It's going to be sunny and nice yet again. So we can definitely enjoy that because I know some folks still have maybe some yard work to do, or maybe they're getting an early start on their holiday decorations. Whatever the case may be, you've got a little window to do something with it here. It is 37 now up here on Lake Wissota. Hayward reporting 40 degrees this morning. Park Falls 37. Wausau 39, Green Bay 42. La Crosse, you have 40 degrees right now. Wisconsin Rapids at 39. Oshkosh 42, Madison 44, Waukesha 36. And it's in Waukesha where we find one Greg Bach down at the studios of the Shaw, WAUK. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Look at you reporting for duty with a salute and everything.
Hello, hello.
How did your weekend go?
Oh, it was great. It was packed with comedy, lots of shows.
Nice. You said you were going to see Patton Oswalt this weekend.
Yeah, I saw Patton Oswalt on Saturday night, and then I saw Gary Gulman last night. And he did a set. He got on stage at 8:15. He goes, "I'll have you out of here by 9:45. I'm like, okay, and then he was done at 10, and then I had to drive home. So, but honestly, like, whether it was producing or watching, it was just a great, great weekend.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, if you set aside the Packer game and the Badger football game, which again are just games, and both cases, I say yet again, we kind of knew it was going to be this kind of a season for both teams. So, just enjoy the experience. Basically.
Yeah, and to those Packer fans out there who've told me, I don't care about this season. Okay. I remember that when they're winning, and you're like, oh, the Packers. I'm like, oh, but what about that one season? Okay.
I'm very happy when they win. I just I don't want to. For some people, a loss just completely ruins their Monday. And I never understood that.
I think when I used to watch football a lot, like if the Packers lost, I get about 20 minutes, and then be like, all right, well, I got to work tomorrow, so.
Yes. Yeah, that's really you have a healthy attitude, Greg.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You've got it just right. And yet, after all that late night comedy, you still manage to show up here at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Like a spring chicken, I'm alive and here to help, sir.
or it makes you a little punchy and talking, whatever that attempt at an accent was.
What? I'm sorry.
Greg's going to nap for a while we go unpack the headlines here. I don't know if you saw Saturday Night Live. I know that Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina must have, because the opening skit for SNL was absolutely brutal to all of the Republicans, Donald Trump included, but it was the Donald Trump character basically ripping into all of his other fellow candidates at the debate that included especially harsh words about Tim Scott. I'm not saying that's what pushed him out of the race. I'm also not saying it's not, because he has announced that he is suspending his campaign. So they were down to 5 candidates on the debate stage last week. Now it's at least 4. But I want to say this about Tim Scott as well. In all seriousness, again, for folks that try to moderate certain people and their behaviors, and people saw Tim Scott as this moderating force, this friendly voice in the Republican field. And I would remind everybody that Tim Scott had a chance to show national leadership, and he either failed or he utterly whiffed on it when this nation was again trying to confront the topic of police violence and police training. There was a national effort to set some standards and also provide some support. But of course, for many Republicans, you know, they lose their wedge issue if they acknowledge that there may be a problem in some places with police violence. And so they were adamant against it. And yet, sensing the public pressure, some Republicans turned to Tim Scott, and he stepped up himself and said he would be willing to try to forge a compromise. Well, that lasted a hot 10 minutes or so. And then he said, you know, I just don't think I can get anything done. So he had his opportunity, but he didn't really show leadership on any other issue either. So he may be a nice guy. He may be happily dating somebody now, and good for him. But it's one more reason why there's one less Republican in the race. And we're one step closer to Donald Trump facing 91 criminal indictments, being the nominee for president, using rhetoric that was downright Nazi-like over the weekend. What I'm glad to see is that media outlets are finally acknowledging this and catching up. Here's the headline from Forbes. Trump compares political foes to vermin on Veterans Day, echoing Nazi propaganda. and others said as much. He pledged to eliminate groups that he says lie, steal, and cheat on elections, and referred to them as vermin in a post on his tiny social media network, using a word prominent in anti-Semitic propaganda to dehumanize Jews, equating them to parasites who spread disease. His message on Veterans Day. Well, you know what? Before I even read you that one, let me share the message for Veterans Day from President Joe Biden. Today, we honor the story of our veterans, the story of our nation at its best. On Veterans Day, let's recommit to fulfilling our one sacred obligation as a nation, to prepare those we send into harm's way and care for them and their families when they come home. Now, Donald Trump also had put up a Veterans Day post with, again, some nice comments toward veterans. But he also then posted, "In honor of our great veterans on Veterans Day, we pledge to you that we will root out the communists, Marxists, fascists, and radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country, lie, steal, and cheat on elections, and will do anything possible, whether legally or illegally, to destroy America and the American dream. Despite the hatred and anger of the radical left lunatics who want to destroy our country, we will make America great again," blah, blah, blah. That was his Veterans Day message, was to invoke some tropes that, let's just say, they're not helpful. Turning to a different story now at 6:16, and then we'll check sports, get an update on the forecast, and also talk about Microsoft coming to the Racine County area. But there was also a story that I saw this morning. It came out of two TV stations in Madison, and it was about a roundtable that was held Friday afternoon with Senator Ron Johnson and Congressman Brian Stile and some local law enforcement. The headline on one says, "Lawmakers raise concern over cartel reaching Walworth County." And the other, from WKOW, "Wisconsin lawmakers hold roundtable on crime cartels in Whitewater, call on stricter border policies from the Biden administration." In one of the pieces of copy, it had just the most interesting way of putting it, that money was being raised on drug sales and that it was being traced back to the cartel in Mexico. Like, the cartel in Mexico? Like, it's, you know, there's one. They all have a meeting and get together and divide up the country. I mean, it was just very caravan-esque, if you know what I mean. I mean, we haven't used cartels before when it's folks in trailer parks making meth. Okay, a drug problem is a drug problem is a drug problem. And you interrupt it where you can locally, you make arrests where you can. But there was this poster that was put up during it as well. And I'm going to have to hold it a little closer here from my old eyes, but it said, it was titled "Concerning Calls for Service." And it talked about an apartment fire with unattended children found sleeping on the floor, family with a 2-year-old child living in a shed. There was a deceased baby found in a field. There was a rapid increase in non-familial living conditions involving minors. None of that says drug cartel to me. It says troubled families. That troubled families that may be of immigrants. And if they're facing these kind of conditions now, they could use some support. Well, unless you want to be like Trump and build camps, you know, to put them into. Before they decide that turning to a life of drugs and crime is the only way to get supported. But for Ron Johnson, as he did in comments, to use the occasion to rip on the Biden administration to again spread the lie about open borders was a politicalization of the process that was curious, to put it most charitably. When we come back, Foxconn no more, thanks to the cloud. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin this morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back in about 60 seconds.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Half Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Half Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Half is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See him in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or 76th and Layton, right on the corner of Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, K, K, K.
Playing a little Rod Stewart later this hour in today's history lesson, so I thought I'd grab another little cut and play that to welcome us back at 6:20 on this Monday morning. Packers lost in Pittsburgh 23-19. They fell to 3-6. They have dropped 5 of 6 games since starting out the season 2-1. Jordan Love completed 21 of 40 passes, 289 yards, 2 touchdowns. But again, just not the flow. I did like one person's comment saying that when we stop expecting Christian Watson to be Devontae Adams and he can just get those receptions organically, maybe things will start to click a little bit better. Certainly hope so. Their next game is at Lambeau Field next Sunday at noon against the LA Chargers. The Bucs are riding a 2-game losing streak after losing Saturday in Orlando. It was also the second game without Damian Lillard, who has a sore left leg. The Bucs are in Chicago tonight to take on the Bulls. And let me get my list. There we go. You can listen to the Bucks games on News from the Center and Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Air in Amory, WRGN in Racine, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Badger football team lost at home to Northwestern 24-10. That's their third straight. They are home again this coming Saturday against Nebraska. The Badger women's volleyball team was shocked by Penn State on Saturday, losing only their second match of the season. The Badgers had beaten Maryland the night before to open up a road trip, and they'll have back-to-back road games later this week as well, playing at Purdue Friday night and at Indiana Saturday afternoon. So let's talk about Foxconn for a second. And a lot of the notes I've made here were from an article in the Journal Sentinel by Carl Ebert, who noted that less than a year after agreeing to build a $1 billion data center in Mount Pleasant, Microsoft says it's going to make an even bigger investment in the land that was originally going to be used by Foxconn. So Foxconn is giving up its options on much of the land, more than 1,000 acres in all, that Microsoft will now be using instead. The terms of the land purchase are going to be presented to the village board today and then the Racine County Board tomorrow. Microsoft, when you say, well, data center, what's a data center? Basically, they're internet hubs. Each one has thousands of servers that support cloud computing. When we say something is in the cloud, those are basically the clouds, these data centers. Microsoft itself has, it says here, about 200 data centers in more than 30 countries, each one employing a couple of hundred people. And that's good news. There are plenty of communities that would love to host data centers. I recall a time in the legislature where we were looking into the possibility of landing one in the Eau Claire area. The fact that it's coming to what everybody has referred to as the Foxconn campus is a nice way to turn around Wisconsin's fortunes after being Foxconned. You'll recall that in 2017, the company, which had a spotty track record of fulfilling its promises to communities, promised that it would build a, quote, Generation 10.5 facility that would manufacture large LCD screens. The project was said to be an investment of $10 billion that would deliver up to 13,000 jobs. Well, those plans never came together, and today the Foxconn operation is about 1,000 people. And the thing is, nobody expected those original promises to be kept. Truly, nobody except the politicians showing up at the ribbon cutting. Because look, there's reason to want to bring some overseas tech jobs back to the U.S., but not every task can be brought back efficiently. And making these screens was cited as one of those things, that it would be quite the challenge to make them here and still be cost effective. But, you know, Donald Trump and Scott Walker were making it out to be the eighth wonder of the world in their comments, even though, again, the company's record had been pretty flaky. So now, instead of 13,000 jobs, they had downgraded. First, it was going to be small glass for like iPhones, and then it was maybe going to be electric cars or something else. And now it appears to be servers, with about 1,000 workers building servers, maybe for Google, but they won't confirm who their customers are. But anyway, that's great. You know, new tech jobs are good. And if Scott Walker and Donald Trump had made a realistic announcement in 2017 that a new factory is coming in to make servers and employ 1,000 workers, that really would have been useful. But after the Republican-led legislature rushed to pour billions of dollars into the location for these lofty promises, folks began to wonder whether it was, you know, smart to put so many eggs in one economic development basket. Scott Walker eventually lost to Tony Evers. Evers helped renegotiate a more realistic package, and things are on a much better centered track for growth in the Racine area, which is all just a very good thing. We had, how long ago was this now? We publicized a drug take back day a few weeks back, and we have a note now from the Wisconsin Department of Justice that says Wisconsin ranked number one throughout the country for the most prescription medications collected during this fall's drug take back day. All across the state, people turned in 53,000 pounds of unwanted medications. 53,000 pounds of unwanted medications. I'm assuming that's all types, not just pills, but you know, capsules, liquids, what have you. But that is amazing. Since it began in 2010 under the leadership of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency, Wisconsin has collected 1.2 million pounds of unwanted medication. So when we talked about this originally and we said, you know, you don't want to flush it down the toilet or throw it away, things like that. I mean, they're not naturally found in the water supply. They're going to find their way down there. We don't know what will happen then. And I'm sure some folks thought, you know, what's a handful of pills? It's not a handful of pills. Again, it's 1.2 million pounds of material that will be disposed of safely, rather than going into the landfills, into our septic systems, you know, into the water table, what have you. So, you know, seriously, for folks who took part in that, thank you for doing that. And remember, you don't have to wait for the next drug take back day. There are drop boxes at a host of places, law enforcement agencies, hospitals, pharmacies, health clinics. You can go to the Department of Health Services website for the state of Wisconsin to find the location near you. But again, congrats to everybody for taking part in that. One media note to get back to politics here. We watched last night the final episode of The Circus on Showtime. And I was late to it. I didn't watch the first couple of seasons of it, but boy, I really got into it once I did, with John Heilman and Mark McKinnon and Jennifer Palmieri, Alex Wagner before that. Such a great job week after week of talking to people who were breaking down the issues and putting things into perspective. And in their final episode, because I guess it was Showtime that canceled the show, they looked back basically on the age of Trump and the directions that our nation has gone in. They are not pretty. But to also talk about how people are standing up, as you saw in Ohio last week, and getting active. And that's what gives us hope, despite some of the very troubling things that are happening in the nation today. So congrats to them. Kristen Lyerly's coming up next. You're up north.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Hamas-run health ministry says three premature babies are among 32 Palestinians who've died over the past 3 days at Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, which is now surrounded by Israeli troops. James Densclough with the Save the Children UK.
The UN facilities that are often designed for warehouse storage and distribution are currently housing over 700,000 people. We're hearing reports of one toilet per 1,000 people, one shower per 700 people.
Republican Tim Scott has suspended his presidential campaign, telling Fox News.
The voters who are the most remarkable people on the planet have been really clear that they're telling me not now, Tim.
The deadline's Friday for lawmakers in Washington to pass a bill to prevent a government shutdown. Jacqueline Simon with the American Federation of Government Employees.
They've got families to support. They've got kids to support. The holidays are coming up. Cold weather's coming up.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Microsoft is looking to expand their data center in Mount Pleasant in southeast Wisconsin. The company plans to spend $1 billion to purchase 1,000 acres to construct more data centers. The data centers are built on the land that was set aside for the Foxconn development that never came to fruition. Governor Evers says he's thrilled to be working with Microsoft to grow their operations in Wisconsin. More layoffs at the University of Wisconsin. UW Parkside in Kenosha plans to cut almost 10% of its workforce over the next year. About 50 full-time jobs will be cut through a combination of voluntary separations, layoffs, and attrition. According to an email to employees, layoff notices will go out in February for people being let go in April or May. This comes after similar cuts at UW Platteville and Oshkosh and to a lesser extent at Green Bay. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 58 today, under clear skies, westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies again tonight, lows dip down to about 32. High of 58 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Did you know there are some secrets behind the long-running popular Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert?
Organized chaos.
That's my favorite kind of show.
That's the best show ever.
Al Petrelli is the music director, guitarist, and an original member of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. TSO kicks off its winter tour in Green Bay November 15th.
That, not only is there two shows in Green Bay on November the 15th, there's a show in Council Bluffs, Iowa on the 15th.
But that's not all. In 46 days, TSO has 104 shows.
This thing grew up. It opened its eyes 28 years ago. It has grown up and broken every rule.
Breaking rules by taking two TSO bands on the road to perform in two cities almost every night. The tour ends in Milwaukee, 62 cities after Green Bay. One other secret? Every stop includes a portion of the ticket sales given back to local charities. Learn more at trans-siberian.com. I'm Terry Barr.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Bringing Dr. Lyerly in, and here at 6:34, and again at 7:34, we're going to be talking about some attempts at cheating going on in Ohio and Michigan. Dr. Lyerly, good morning.
Good morning, and happy Monday.
Yeah, you are up north on the range, right? Yes. Iron Range, and so last weekend you attempted to ask a bartender to put a Packer game on. That didn't go well. Did you even try this past weekend, yesterday?
So as you know, the Packers published their broadcast map. So I am faithfully checking the broadcast map every weekend. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed this week was the Twin Cities media market, which is also Western Wisconsin, covering the Vikings. The Duluth media market covered the Packers. And I'm in the Duluth media market. I know, it's weird. So I had to get some lunch. So I went to the brewery again, and it was the Vikings game. And I sucked it up for a little while. And then I went back to my hotel and watched the Packer game.
it's tough to be a fan.
It was weird. Yeah, I mean, it was really strange how they split it up like that. Like, do people in Duluth and northern Minnesota not like the Vikings?
They should. I mean, they're on the Vikings are on a 5-game winning streak. So
I know they're doing great.
I'm sure people weren't happy about that. Greg's here as well. Greg's on-screen title has been changed from producer to Dr. Lyerly, and then the greater sign, greater than Dr. Oz.
It's true. It's just true. Mm-hmm. I trust her way more than that person.
You know, we haven't even heard about him since the last election day. And hasn't it felt good?
Yeah, it really is. Because you were like, he's just a harmless Oprah friend TV show guy. And you're like, oh, you are a monster.
it gave us some comedy in those campaigns, him and Herschel Walker running in Georgia. But much like Trump's original run, it's like you're playing with fire when you bring the circus, in that way, you may end up getting some of the clowns.
Who even has to watch like reality TV when reality is happening in front of us and it's stuff like this?
I don't need to watch, reality TV at all here. So, so when you're up there, I suppose a lot of your meals are out and about, because I had a full day in the kitchen yesterday. And or do you bring things at all, or do you have a little hot plate? There's that one there's a commercial where like the security guard, buys a hot plate and suddenly he's a TV chef by the time he's all done. So I sense that's not what's happening, for doctors on the road.
That's not me on the road. Also not me at home. I am not a cook, but I do when I come here, I go to the grocery store, because otherwise it's all takeout and restaurant meals. And that's a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of calories. I did that at first. And so I usually go to the store and get some fruits and vegetables and snacky things. I try to eat healthy.
Good. Mm-hmm. I always make a big breakfast on the weekends when I'm able. And then as soon as that was put away, I had to start to make a pot of chicken chili, because the place where I was watching the game was having a potluck with everybody supposed to bring in different kinds of soups and chilies. So I contributed.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I contributed my chicken chili to it. And then as soon as that was done, started making up a big pot of lasagna sauce. For making a lasagna last night for dinner. So you cook it up. It's a big little Dutch oven. And then I just let that thing simmer for the entire Packer game. And then made the lasagna after that. And turned out good.
Greg, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
We're going to Pat's
lasagna
house.
Sauce. Well, yeah, Pat's house would be great. I'm thinking like lasagna sauce. They sell that at the grocery store in jars.
Yeah.
And it tastes nothing like. It's so much easier.
It tastes nothing like you're going to get here.
Are you pulling me into your lazy world of not cooking? You're like, you look like a guy who's never been in the kitchen. I have.
Wouldn't that be great if I did invite everybody up for a Civic Media dinner party and I put a nice plate of fresh homemade lasagna in front of everybody, and then I just set a plate of noodles and a jar of ragu next to Kristen's spot. There you go.
Have at it,
because apparently it's the same.
This whole huge spread.
It's definitely not the same.
This whole huge spread of beautiful foods that you've made over the course of 2 days. You sit down with one plate, a fork, and a knife, and you look at us going, "What are you guys going to eat?" And just start tearing into it.
No,
that's the joy of cooking, though. For me, I will cook when other people are around. Mm-hmm. I don't want to cook just so people can come upstairs, eat the food, and then run away again.
Yeah.
And then I have to clean up. That's what I don't love doing. But I'm happy to cook when you've got a glass of wine and you've got people and it's an event.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Kristen, again, we're going to talk about it more an hour from now, but for folks who can't be around then, we started the weekend talking about how Republicans in Ohio, within days of a constitutional amendment passing to enshrine abortion rights for women, said that they were going to look for ways to get around it. And we also have from our Courier Newsroom colleague, Kyle Kaminsky at the Gander in Michigan, that Republicans are attempting the same thing there, to get a constitutional amendment declared unconstitutional after it was approved by voters, as opposed to trying to get it tossed off the ballot beforehand because it wouldn't be constitutional. And one last point on it before I turn you loose. Keep in mind that back in Ohio in 2021 and 2022, Ohio Republicans simply ignored orders by the Ohio Supreme Court to fix unconstitutional maps. Not once, not twice, 7 times. And in all those delays, it basically overturned the will of the voters who'd approved a fair maps constitutional amendment. This just seems to be the epitome of one side of the aisle these days of, if you can't win fair and square with the voters, then find a way to cheat.
Well, the legislature in Ohio thinks that they are in charge of everything. And, Ohio is an entirely red state. Their Supreme Court is red. Their legislature is ridiculously red. Their governor is red. That they've been scheming. They knew that issue one was going to pass. They knew that this was going to be enshrined as a constitutional amendment. So, that they had this all ready to go. And talking with my colleagues in Ohio, they didn't even get a chance to celebrate. They had a moment, and then right away, the Ohio Republicans launched into this, we're not going to let the judiciary enforce this. And, the most infuriating thing is I was listening to the Republican debate and listening to Nikki Haley talk about how we need to find this common ground and we need to let the people speak. Well, the people have spoken over and over and over again. I think we've had 6 states that have had referenda on the ballot. And every single one of those, most of them very red, have said people want to make their own reproductive decisions. They want the freedom to make their own healthcare decisions. And yet, the Republicans are coming back and saying, no, you don't actually get to speak. We want to speak.
And Ohio actually made it 7 states. It all started with Kansas that have protected abortion rights or turned back bans. So the voters, the majority, has spoken. But this continuing tendency to look for ways to undermine the will of the voters, again, on the positive side, we say, the voters keep coming back. The voters keep coming back and they keep turning back these efforts. I just worry that at some point, the right wing knows all they have to do is just keep patiently hammering away. It took them 50 years to get rid of Roe v. Wade, but they at no point go, I guess, this is not what the people want, and go away. It doesn't work like that.
Well, it's a tug of war. As soon as one side starts pulling harder than the other side, then things head in that direction. And then the other side gets energized and they start pulling back in their direction. And you're right. It took 50 years to repeal Roe. 50 years and a lot of strategy, careful decision making. This wasn't haphazard. They chose this issue intentionally because they recognized that people would vote on this single issue. So that's how they drove it home. That's how they made these alliances with religious organizations. That's how abortion became a political issue. It wasn't political before the 70s at all. And it certainly wasn't political historically, back in like 1849 when Wisconsin's criminal abortion ban was initially implemented.
Yeah, it wasn't topical that way at all. It was, it came from darker places, shall we say. Mm-hmm. So we talked to, when did we talk to Amy? Now you have to remind me, Amy Burkett or Burkett?
Yes.
Dr. Amy.
Dr. Amy.
Nice.
Well, because you guys are, you're texting back and forth. And, you know, she was the one that said she could hardly celebrate. And I do wonder, and we'll ask her as well, if you know, this is going to turn into an Idaho situation where, you know, docs are going to stop fighting and just start leaving.
I don't think so. I think that there is such a force in Ohio that they're not going to let this happen. Idaho was different. I think Idaho already was very inherently read as a state, like culturally, they're very different states. So I think that there is enough of a force in Idaho that it's not going to happen. But that doesn't mean that they can take their foot off the gas. You know, they aren't going to, believe me, when I talked with Amy, Dr. Amy, she mentioned that they are steeled. She's already talked with her colleagues. This is a multi-state effort. Doctors are banding together, recognizing that what happens in Ohio affects people all around the country. So this is something that is a priority for those of us who deliver healthcare to women, those of us who are women, those of us who care for women. It really is a canary in a coal mine when it comes to women in this country.
I want to come back to a topic from, I think, a week ago or so, and ask about, you know, doctors being put in a position of, well, you don't want to be put in the position of being like health insurance sales reps or something like that. But it's the open enrollment period for Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans. And I believe for the Affordable Care Act as well, people using the exchanges there. So this is the time of year where a lot of people are comparing plans. And I want to start by giving all kinds of credit to Dr. Kreitlow, who, after the last time we talked about this, and I said, yeah, we got to find somebody who can actually just explain, you know, the differences in these plans and just explain it honestly. And she said she's all the time referring people to your local county office on aging, that those are the folks who, they don't run flashy commercials or anything. They know the plans. They'll walk you through them. I just still think it's such an unfair position to put you or Sherry or anybody else in, because I'm sure they sometimes bring you papers and go, here, go through these with me. Which plan is right for me? That's really not what you're looking to do. Yeah.
We don't have a clue. We are so far distanced from what happens with insurance that we don't know what the agreement is between the insurance company and the bigger healthcare organization. We honestly don't know, but we are that point of contact. Mm-hmm. So, and we have a trusted relationship with our patients. And I think that's the hardest part. We want to be able to help, but frankly, there's no way we can even access that information. And that's intentional.
And here's the thing. Doctors are customers too. Mm-hmm. And I know we had been in a position between gigs where we were using the marketplace for the Affordable Care Act and having to compare plans at one point. And even when locums doctors like yourself, temps basically, you know, going from place to place to fill in gaps as need be.
Make it sound real special. That's
you got your own little Latin job title. Yay, you. But it doesn't, you have to buy your own health insurance.
I do. Yeah. I go on the marketplace to buy my health insurance.
So you have to compare these plans as well. It just tells you what a crazy place we're living in, that, you know, even doctors have to go around and, you know, weigh all these different plans to see what do I get the most out of, which is, you know, if you translate that, is where am I doing minimal damage to my wallet so that some corporation can increase their profit?
I appreciate it, having to do that footwork for myself. I mean, it's another thing that I have to do, but it also helps me see the healthcare system through the eyes of my patients mm-hmm. a little bit better than if it was part of my employment package.
Yeah. You know, Greg, as somebody who's, you're small, you know, you run a small business. I mean, that is the real heart of all this, is, you know, small business owners who would like to do more for their employees, but of course your small business can't afford it. You're busy watching out for your own healthcare, you know, you and or many other small business people. It's a crazy time of year to have to carve out time to do this.
I mean, I'm very lucky that Bridget covers us under her insurance. She works for a big corporation. So, but every year, me and my business partners at the club talk about trying to extend some sort of health care. We're a very small company. We have like 5 employees. It's never fiscally worth it for us we don't have the money to do it, and it breaks our hearts every single year. But yeah, you know, this sounds really full of myself, but the fact that we even consider wanting to do it makes me feel good about it. If we can someday, that would be fantastic.
That's what we continue working toward. Today's history lesson and musical memories coming up right after this. You're up north.
And call my name, you'll walk the floor the way I do.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Half Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Half Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Half is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or 76th and Layton, right on the corner of Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
I was going to bring up the Ron Burgundy line when he's playing jazz flute, going, oh, this baby making music right there.
Too early for that, Pat.
But it seemed too early for that, so let's not bring that up at all.
Oh, no, thanks. Yeah, everyone strike that from the conversation.
Yes. I'm just saying I looked at the clip and thought about bringing it up, but then you couldn't hear Rod Stewart over the jazz flute, you know, that he was playing at the time. Who plays a mean
Lizzo.
Flute? Oh, of course. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rod Stewart had the number one hit this day in 1976 with a little French cooing by his girlfriend, Britt Eklund. And I like how when I put this in, French cooing, it auto-corrected it to French cooking. there might be some cooking going on, but not of that type.
If Dr. Lyerly puts in French cooking, does it say, did you mean French cooing?
It does! You bet it does.
Selena Heller, Up North News reporter, joins us as well. Selena, good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you? French cooing or French cooking? What, you know, which would you rather be?
I missed that whole little bit.
Let's give you a pass on that.
Thank you.
Let's play a little background music from Walt Disney's animated film Fantasia, which was released this day in 1940. I might be wrong, but I mean, some people love, you know, Fantasia, and I just did not see. I didn't get it, you know. It wasn't my thing.
It's like, I didn't like Citizen Kane.
Let me tell you something. I've watched it once, and that was as a young adult, and that was my thought at the time. I was like, yeah, it's okay, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I realized
it doesn't really have a story.
No,
it's like. You know, it's like
an animator's scenarios. Fever dream is what it is. It's just
it's proof that there were hallucinogenic mushrooms all through this. not just today.
This is not new.
Yeah. Anyway, Fantasia was released this day in 1940 at New York's Broadway Theater. On this day in 1927, the Holland Tunnel opened to traffic as the first Hudson River vehicle tunnel linking New York and New Jersey. On this day in 1982, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial was dedicated in Washington, D.C. after a march to its site by thousands of Vietnam War veterans.
Have you been there?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, the first time you see it, you basically have to take a knee.
Yeah.
You know, you see all the names, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've never walked through there when it's not complete silence. There is something that's just so reverent.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. You will almost never hear any kind of a commotion there, because that's just the feeling that you get. Mm-hmm. It also helped open up. It was kind of cathartic in many ways. I mean, like my parents, you know, they graduated high school in 63, you know, so my dad joined the Army and consequently was serving in Europe instead of in Vietnam. But they lost high school friends, but I don't think they ever talked about losing high school friends in Vietnam till around the time that monument went up. And they talked about, you know, the names of people they know that are on there. So yeah, it was just an amazing artistic feat. On this day in 1982, the debut album from Men at Work, called Business as Usual, hit number one. There was this hit that kind of kicked it all off. Kristen, ready with the drumsticks right away.
Yeah. Get out your flute, Pat. Yeah.
I was going to say, more flute.
It's kind of a flute day. So this song is the song that introduced the term Vegemite to Americans.
Uh-huh.
And in 1999, I was on a holiday vacation trip to Australia and New Zealand. And sure enough, much like there's ketchup and mustard packets and salt packets, there's little Vegemite packets all over the place.
I hear it's not good.
No, it's an asphalt shingle is what it is. It is like eating asphalt. There's no other way to put it.
That's the name of my new punk band. Asphalt.
Asphalt shingle.
Asphalt shingle. Selena, did you do any of the holiday vacations trips when you were at TV 13?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do?
One of them, Hawaii, Three Islands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I did. A wonderful group.
Yes.
We all got sick in the ocean.
You all got sick in the ocean?
Yeah, well, because the water was really bad that day. The ocean was really bad, and we went out on this little excursion into the water, and all you heard was everybody getting sick. So,
oh, you mean like seasick?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Puking, I mean,
I was imagining some public health hazard at a beach or something, but okay. Okay. So a little wavy out there.
Little wavy. So all we heard was everybody getting sick. So everybody wanted to get shirts that had something like about getting sick.
On this day in 2010, Taylor Swift, has she been around that long already?
She's been around since 2003.
Taylor Swift set a record by becoming the first female artist to place 11 songs on the Hot 100 at the same time. Here's a Sparks Fly in the background. Tell you that. Wow.
Sorry. Couldn't help it. Taylor just comes at you.
She just does.
Yep. Travis Kelce had the same reaction when she sang about him at her concert.
Oh, my gosh.
It's romantical, isn't it?
It's adorable.
It's sweet. The whole world is following their romance.
They are, because we all know what the arc is going to look like. You know?
Let it go, Pat. Just enjoy it.
I would like to invoke one complaint, though.
Sure.
This isn't Taylor's version. This is the original version, and we're not honoring Taylor by playing this song. So, Pat, get it together.
It's a history segment. This was the song that was played in 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, like how I quickly reached for that. I'll go for the legalese. Any excuse I can find. Just a couple of birthdays today. Whoopi Goldberg is 68, and Jimmy Kimmel is 56. Today on the national calendars, it's World Kindness Week.
Aww.
World Kindness Week and Anti-Bullying Week. So, yeah. We all have to be nicer to Greg this week and not boss him around. It is National Hug a Musician Day. And I don't know that I don't know that I'd recommend that necessarily, you know, at least not unsolicited.
You shouldn't hug anybody unsolicited, though. Public service announcement.
Yes. Well, yes.
Well, it's also Sadie Hawkins Day. So you can't hug him, but you can at least approach a boy and ask him out today, apparently. I mean, not you guys necessarily.
Oh, boy, Pat. Oh, boy, Pat. This is going off the rails.
Yeah, it sure is. Kristen Lyerly returns with Dr. Amy at 7:30 to talk about what's happening in Ohio and Michigan, attempting to do an end run around the Constitution. Selena Heller continues with us after the news. You're up north. My thing is through.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.